Well, it is an honor to be here with you today, and thank you everyone for being here. I just want to say it's a privilege to share the Word of God with you all today, and I want to thank Pastor Armstrong for the opportunity to be able to just to speak and share God's Word. So if you are a visitor, I want to thank you for being here today, and I want to make a request. You're not supposed to make a request on the first time someone comes to church, but my request to you is that you come back next Sunday so you can hear our pastor. Pastor Armstrong, he'll be here next Sunday, and we are so excited to start the new year right, and you guys are finishing the new year well being here in church today. And so as we get going, it is such an honor and a privilege to be here and to serve in this church. And I just want to thank you for allowing my family the opportunity to serve here alongside your family. As we're continuing, I'm a dad. And so every time that I speak, I have to take an opportunity to update the church on Ellie. So this is my daughter, Ellie. And you all can say, aw now. Aww. Oh, thank you. She is the cutest little girl. And she is 9 months old. She is honestly a highlight in our life from this pandemic. She was born right before this whole shutdown of the country in March. And so as we've gone through all the different stages of this year, just as you have, the Lord has given us this great blessing of Ellie to be able to raise and to be able to take a part of. But as I have learned that I'm now a dad because I hear her crying in the middle of the night, I can change diapers. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. I've learned that I have this new role in 2020 that was being a father. And so now as I look to 2021, I'm trying to see how can I make an improvement? How can I be a better father? Raise your hand if anyone in here made a resolution in 2020. Anyone? We got a couple people. Awesome. So across America, about half of people make a 2020 goal, and they usually center around trying to exercise more. It centers around saving money. My favorite, getting more sleep. Anyone like to get more sleep? Yeah, there we go. There's my people right there. And then some people, they decide in 2020, I'm going to travel abroad. I don't think that happened this year. And so as we're going through, most of my years, I've tried to set goals and tried to make improvements, but 2020 kind of, you know, came around and it's a little different. And so how many of you all are on Facebook? Okay, those of you who aren't, you can explain to them what a meme is. But here's a meme that will tell us my goal for 2020 is to accomplish the goals of 2019, which I should have done in 2018 because I promised them in 2017. And I planned in 2016. So many years, I make a goal, and I push it off, I don't get it done. But I try to improve, and everyone who makes a resolution, you're trying to improve some area of your life. You're taking certain roles, and you're trying to see how you can do a better job in it. And so as I was thinking about that, it all starts with the right foundation. Now, as a dad, I have all these toys around my house. This is one of them. It's called, I think it's a ring stack, something like that. And my daughter, she loves this. She got it for Christmas. She plays with it. It makes noises. So it's one of her favorites. But as life goes and as trials come, it doesn't have anything to worry about because it's got a good foundation. But, you know, sometimes we try and live our life and we go and we say, okay, well, I'm going to try and do things without a foundation. So I'm going to try and work like, you know, overtime. I'm going to try and improve this area of time. Not spend time, neglect time in the Word of God. Maybe I won't pray today. Maybe I won't, you know, go to church because it's not that important. Maybe I'll just try and just make it on my own. And so as hard times come, and as, you know, turbulence in life comes, we don't have that foundation anymore. And so when things happen, everything just falls down. And so today we're going to look at some important truths for a foundation from the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a guy who built a strong foundation. He did a great work for God. And so if I could have everyone turn in their Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read some of the story of Nehemiah. It's an incredible story, and we're going to start at the beginning of it. We're going to see all the foundation that is laid in his life. And so, just as we normally do, we're going to have everyone stand if you're physically able when you get to Nehemiah chapter 2. I'll read the odd verses, and I'll ask for you to read the even verses. So we'll give you all a second just to find that. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not done this before time in his presence.
Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? See that I am not sick. This is nothing else but sorrow of my heart, and I was very sore afraid.
And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?
And he said unto me, for what dost thou make request? For I pray to the God of heaven.
And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it.
And the king said unto me, the queen also said, by me, for how long shall I return to thee, and when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him unto him.
Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. Now let's jump down to verse 15 of this chapter. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed all the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. Then said I unto them, see ye the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach.
Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build, so that we strengthen their hands for this good work.
Thank you for reading. You may be seated. This morning, I want to ask you a simple question. As you look back in 2020, what can you explain only by saying, God did this? As you look back at your prayer requests, I'm not talking about general broad statements, I'm thinking specific. You know, we look at this story. This is a very specific prayer request that we'll look at that Nehemiah had that he saw answered. As we are looking at 2020, this whole year, how's your prayer life been? We're going to look and see how that Nehemiah, he had a great relationship with God in his time in prayer. And what I'm asking you today is, what specifically are you asking for in 2021? What are you looking for to see God do a great work in? You know, if we aim for nothing, we'll hit it every time. If we're not looking and asking and pleading with God to do something great in Tucson or great in our family or great in our neighbor's life, if we're not asking specifically, then why would he answer if it's never asked? So we're going to look and see how Nehemiah, he asked not for himself, he asked for others. And this is what we're going to see, that to do something for God, it starts by spending time with God. To do something for God starts by spending time with God. This man, Nehemiah, he was an employee of royalty. He served the king of this empire. He's someone who had a relationship. He had a benefits package beyond what most people in the city had. He was comfortable. He was in an area and a time where he didn't have to struggle. But you know what? He decided that he had a burden. He wanted to see something done for God. And so he took a great priority in his time with prayer so that he could see God do something great. And so as we look at how he had a priority in his life, we're going to go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, starting verse 2. It tells us that Hanani, one of his brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left in the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The first step that we see in Nehemiah's life to setting his foundations was that he reached out to God selflessly. Nehemiah was a man that lived in captivity. He is someone who is part of the Medo-Persian Empire. He's not in Israel. He's not in Jerusalem. That's where he should be. And it's been 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar took his family out of the land of Israel. Nehemiah's brother, he's returning now from Jerusalem. He's been there. He's seen it. He's seen the ruin that is caused and the ravages of war on his city, the promised land that he was given. And we see that when he comes, Hanani is telling his brother what has happened. And his brother, he is burdened. He's caring for other people. He's asking what is happening to the land of his forefathers. What is happening to the people that are left there in Israel? He's someone who had a quality of being selfless. And as we look at being selfless, it can be defined as having little or no concern for yourself, or especially when it comes to fame, position, or money. Paul challenged all Christians. That's you, that's me, so let's go ahead and let's listen. He challenged us in Philippians 2:4. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Don't be focused on ourselves. So much time is spent thinking about ourselves. So much time in my life is spent thinking, you know, how can we do things, you know, so that we can set up a good foundation for our family? How can we do things so that I can help spend time doing this? We shouldn't be concerned with ourselves. We shouldn't be concerned with what we are doing. We should be thinking of other people. That's the instructions that we are seeing in the New Testament for Christians. If you're a Christian, it's for you. It's for me. And so Nehemiah, he lived that out. Jesus, the person that we say that we are following, he gave us some very specific instructions. He told us in John 15:12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much did he love us? He loved us so much he died for us. Well, he goes on and he says, greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he tells us if you're his friend or not. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That word if is a qualifier. It's telling us you are my friends, but only if you do this. So my question is, are you a friend of God? You have a question in your outline that you can circle yes or no. Are you a friend of God? Yes, no. And then after that, the question is, do you follow Jesus' commands? Do you obey Christ? Jesus says if you don't obey what he's commanded you, you're not his friend. He's saying here that when is the last time that you've read a book of the Bible? That you've completed a book of the Bible? When's the last time that you have opened up your prayer list and spent time in prayer? When's the last time that the Holy Spirit has prompted you to do something and you've obeyed? These are all things that are supposed to be daily in the Christian's life. If the answer is no, I haven't done that, I haven't spent time in God's Word, I haven't spent time praying, you know, I don't understand this concept of the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something, to obey what the Holy Spirit has told you to do. If that doesn't make sense to you or you've never experienced that, then you should come talk to Pastor Howard or Pastor Armstrong or me, and we can explain to you how the Christian life is supposed to be lived. But Nehemiah, he was a selfless person. He was someone who talked about other people to try and encourage them, to try and help them. He's asking how people are doing. When's the last time that we have said, how is this person doing? Pastor Howard gave us a list of people that are in the hospital right now. And I don't know how many of us took time to even write the names down so that we could pray for them. Now, I'm sure we'll have an email going out so that we can keep those people in the forefront of our prayers. But as we continue looking at Nehemiah's life, he had a compassion for others. He was someone who had great compassion. He says in Nehemiah 1:3, that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in this province of Jerusalem, in Israel, they had great affliction, great reproach, because the walls there burned down and the gates thereof there are burned. But I'm afraid that as 21st century Christians, you know, he's back, he's in centuries ago. He's worrying about his people. We're Christians, we should be worrying about Christians, we should be worrying about all people. But how much more are those in the household of faith? We should be worrying about those. But I think that a lot of times we are desensitized because we have access on our devices. We have access on TV. We have access to the news, to the internet. We see what happens. We have all of these entertainment industries that show us the ravages of war, and we're just desensitized, I feel like. So today, I want to share some information about some Christian struggles that are happening around the world and are happening today. There's a picture that will come up of a man named Sumit, and he is a Christian. It doesn't show his face, but he is a Christian in India. He became a Christian after he saw a group of Christians praying for God to do something, and God answered their prayers. And because God answered their prayer, he said, I want to follow this God. And so he became a Christian, but not without consequences. After which, the village, they heard that he had been baptized. They heard that he's following Jesus, that he's a Christian now. So they came and they beat him. They came and they forced his family to flee their home. And now they're living in a small hut in the jungle. As I was doing more research about the hardships in India, you know, we think about things that in our Christian society of America, we don't have any struggles compared to what they have to go through. And I was reading about a report in March of 2020. It says, despite the legal protection for Christian men in India and leaders in India, they found that if they are a Christian and they chose to adhere to the Christian faith, they're subjected to violence in many forms. Their persecution includes various forms of beating and emotional torture that they have to go through and see even their family members tortured. It's awful. They go through false charges that they are often, they're claimed to have beaten people. They're claimed to have molested children. They're claimed to have done horrible acts of violence against women. These charges are usually brought against pastors and preachers. There's a price that they're having to pay for their Christian faith. And as we keep going, I was seeing that in China, they're actually paid, as of September of 30th this year, they're paid to tell them information about Christians. So if someone knows that you're a Christian, if they know that you go to church and you meet or you read the Bible, you go and you tell the government, they give you money so that they can go and arrest those people. It's horrible. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:51 that mine eye affected mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine eye affects my heart. And as I was doing research, I saw a video of some children that are Christians, some children that are displaced from their home this Christmas. And as of a few days ago, they recorded this video of these Christian children singing and just giving some testimony. So we're going to go ahead and watch this video real quick. And it tells us about the children in Iraq. Now you probably couldn't understand what they were saying as they're speaking different language. So we have pictures to show of each one. The first one says, I ask the Lord to protect my church in Iraq. Think about that. to protect my church. From what? Well, they keep on giving us prayer requests to tell us from what. I wish that I could go back to my church in Iraq is the next one. I want to live in peace like other children. These are children. They are asking me, and these are their prayer requests, that they want to live in peace. The last one says, I pray that there will be no terrorists in the world so that we can live in peace. This is a few days ago that this was recorded. This is not happening just, you know, years ago. This is happening as of hours ago. I saw another video. This is a video in this next slide, if you'll go to it. It's Pastor Polycarp Zongo in Nigeria. He is pleading on this proof of life video for his life and for the lives of two other ladies who are Christians that were abducted. We see in our Christian society that there are people that are paying a price. We might not be paying the price that they're paying, and maybe you can't do something about Pastor Zongo in Nigeria, but do you have a burden for the people that are in your workforce? Do you have a burden for the people that are across your street? You know, you see these people and our heart breaks for them, but does our heart break for the people that we know? We need to develop a compassionate heart, a heart that knows. I mean, we have the Bible. The Bible tells us what happens if someone dies without knowing Jesus as their Savior. But I feel like sometimes we don't actually live it out. We don't live it out because we get too worried to tell other people about Jesus. And so it's so important that we maintain a compassionate heart, that we have a heart that cares for other people. And it starts by thinking of those who are around you, those who you know. And then it starts by thinking about those in the next generation, the children that are over in Kid Planet. They have the opportunity to come to a church. They get to see you. Do you interact with the children of our church? Do you go and take some time to serve the children in our church? You know, the Bible says that the elders should help teach the youngers. It should be the older people in the church helping to lead and to guide the younger children in our church. That starts in our families, but then it goes on into our church. And we should be developing a heart of compassion for every person. And as we continue in Nehemiah's story, he not only was caring and concerned about his people in Israel, but he also was very serious, and he had specific prayer requests that he was praying. Nehemiah was someone who understood that prayer is important. Prayer is something that changes lives. Let's read about how he decided to take the news to do something about this problem that he saw. He made a specific action step. In Nehemiah 1:4, it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." As we continue, there's some key words here. It says, "And it came to pass." It means that time went on and he was still burdened with it. Time went on and he was still worried about what is going on here. He had a burden for these people. He then said that he prayed. And as we go and look further into his prayer, he ends the last part of his prayer by saying this simple, specific prayer request. "Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Grant Nehemiah mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." His specific prayer request is that he will have mercy in the sight of the king. But for what? Well, let's keep going. As we keep going, we see that we're supposed to maintain prayer. We're supposed to continue praying. We're supposed to have an effectual, fervent prayer life, one that's not going to end or stop. And it reminds me of a person that I read about. Let me take you back a couple years. It's the winter of 1943. It's cold outside. And you hear a knock at your door. You open the door, and the moment someone says the first word, you know exactly who this person is. This is the person that the government is looking for. This is the person who you take and you rush into your house because you don't want anyone to see. This is a Jewish person in Amsterdam during the occupation of the Nazis. This is Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom, over the time that she was able to help in the Jewish Freedom Underground, she was able to help over 800 Jewish people be able to be freed from the Nazi control and the concentration camps that they were going to have to go and be subjected to. And so as we're continuing, she had a statement to all Christians, someone who lived a life that actually shows us that prayer is essential. She's praying every moment she hears a knock that it's not the Gestapo. She's praying every moment that someone's not coming to take her family and rip them out of their home. She said this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? She understood that prayer should be guiding our lives. We shouldn't pull prayer out of the back trunk whenever it's time for an emergency. We should be spending time in prayer every day, guiding our life, taking us from point A to point B. And I'm excited that this next year we have a new feature for all of our church family to be able to encourage other people in prayer. And Pastor's going to talk about it on Vision Night. Vision Night's going to be awesome. You want to be there this time for Vision Night. But as we continue, Nehemiah, he reached out to God selflessly through prayer because he cared for other people. But then he helped people generously. He wasn't someone who just stopped at having a burden. He had an action for these people. He asked for mercy in the sight of this king. Well, I'm sure he understood that in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, it says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth them whithersoever he will, just as rivers of water. Nehemiah had confidence that if he prayed to his God, that his God would answer his prayer. As I was thinking about prayer, sometimes we think that in our society where we can just say, hey Siri, I want to know the answer to how tall is the Empire State Building. We think that's how prayer should work. That's not how prayer is going to always work. We see in Nehemiah's life that he had to wait. And whenever I was looking, it's interesting, we see that culture and context is so important. And so as we're looking at the Bible, it tells us in the first chapter a month. It says the month Chislu. Now, does anyone know what Chislu is? Yeah, I didn't know either, so I had to go look it up. Chislu is basically our month of November. So this is when he found out in November that the people in Israel are in affliction. And he prayed at that moment and prayed and prayed. And I thought, you're thinking, you know, Elijah, he prayed, you know, a couple words and boom, fire came down from heaven. That's not what happened in Nehemiah's life. The next chapter tells us when he goes before the king, it's the month Nisan. Nisan is close to the month of March, and we're looking at a 4 to 5 month period that Nehemiah is praying fervently because he has a passion to help these people. And so he is showing us in this passage that your prayers aren't always going to be instantaneous. They're not always going to be the answers that you want, but sometimes it's important to understand that even the most faithful warriors in the Bible, the most faithful prayer warriors, they aren't going to have their answers to prayer like that. They're not going to have their answers to prayer like, hey, Siri works. Sometimes it's going to take some time. And that's what we see here. But then as we continue, we see that he cooperated with the king, and cooperation results in possibilities in our lives. He was someone that understood that he wanted to live peaceably with these men. Ecclesiastes tells us that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. We should be working to develop a good core group of people that we have as friends. When you look around, I want everyone to look around and find one person not sitting beside them. We should all, because we are all together as Christians coming together to worship God, we should be able to sit with any person in the room and do a work with them, and we should be able to work well because we are all bonded together by our faith in Jesus Christ. We have a common denominator of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul told the Romans that if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. We're supposed to make sure that we're not a contentious person. We're supposed to cooperate with other people so that we can see God do a great work. I've seen an acronym before that tells us that team is something as simply as defined as together each accomplishes more. As we're going through this year, we have a plan of action that our pastor is going to unveil to us on January the 10th. It's something that we all need to be here for because this plan of action is going to show us what the year will look like, where we're going, what we want to see God do, and a way for you to be able to grab on and to be able to be a part of what God is doing here in Tucson. Someone once said that A dream without a plan is just a wish. I'm so thankful that at our church, everything is done decently and in order. As I look at Awana and we see how Daniel Taylor leads all of those children and all those workers in such a phenomenal way. He leads them decently and in order so that they can teach our children of our church to be able to learn about God. I think about Mrs. Moon and Mrs. Lowry, how they come here every week to set the books for the music ministry. I think about whenever we had the time of the Lord's Supper, and they changed the way everything was done as far as handing out the elements. And Dave Cyrus was able to get all of the leaders in our church to be able to work together to serve all of us and all of us in the church. Decently and in order is something that characterizes our church, and I believe it starts with our pastor all the way down. In this next year, there's so many projects that are going to be happening with its Project 520 campaigns. We want to see God work in a great way, and I can't wait for Pastor to share those in the new year. Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Armstrong have been working tirelessly for us to be able to make an impact. And I just want you guys to look forward to January the 10th. Okay? So as we have been going through the story of Nehemiah, we've seen that he's reached out to God selflessly. Through prayer, he's had compassion for others. He's been specific. He's been serious about his prayer requests. He's helped people generously. He's had a plan of action. He cooperated with the king, and the king was able to help him in his journey. But then let's look at the last piece. He inspired his peers passionately. As we're going through, we see the opening scene of Nehemiah's story, and it's coming to a close in this chapter. And we see that he's now in Israel. As we look at chapter 2 and verse 9, he has all his materials that the king has given to him. Nehemiah needs people now. It's been all night that he's been looking and surveying the land. He's seen the gates being burned with fire with his own eyes. He's seen the walls being destroyed and the rubble. And he's seen all the work that needs to happen to rebuild Jerusalem. Then in verse 18, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Let's read that together. "And they said,
let us rise up and build."
Let's try that again. "And they said,
let us rise up and build."
Awesome. "They said, let us rise up and build." As we're coming into this new year, we have two Sundays, and then we have Vision Sunday. I want to encourage you to be excited about what God has planned for 2021. There's a plan that our pastor has to be able to reach our community in new ways. He has a plan to be able to impact people in the individual, personal level, in ways that you'll be able to help impact your neighbors, to ways that you'll be able to reach those in different fields of your work. There's great excitement about what God is going to be doing in the new year. There's so much that God wants to do. But if you all don't take your hands and strengthen your hands for this good work, if you don't say, let us rise up, let's be a part of this. If you say, this is another year, it's going to be like 2020. Things are going to happen. There's going to be something else. I'm just going to let, the other people. I've been in the church for a long time. I'll let the younger people do it. Or the younger people say, well, I'm too young to do it. I'll let the older people do it. If we live a life like that, you're not going to have ownership in what God is going to be doing here. This is an opportunity for you to be a part of what God is going to do. God's going to work in Tucson. And our pastor has a plan for us to be able to be a part of that work. But it's up to us to be able to join in with that work. As we reflect on the life of Nehemiah, and as we close today, maybe you need to take some time and focus on other people. Maybe you need to develop that compassion in your heart like Nehemiah had. Maybe you need to join a ministry. Or you need to sign up for Project 520. Maybe you need to go and sign up for the first mission trip that's available so you can see people that are in need. Maybe you need to work on your prayer life. Maybe you need to keep a prayer list. Start a prayer list so that way you can keep track of what you're praying for. So you can see as God answers prayers, you can write down and you can see God answer this, God answer that. That's the key to seeing God answer your prayers, is keeping a list to know. Maybe you need to work on living peacefully with all men. Maybe you are someone who comes in, comes out, slips in, slips out. You don't work on your relationship with other people. Maybe you need to work with developing relationships. Maybe you need to work with staying 5 minutes after service is over and just talking with people. Maybe you need to work on letting God control your life. Maybe you're watching on live stream and you need to take and make the step of faith to plan to be here on January the 10th. Maybe you need to stop being cynical with your speech and be someone that's an encourager, that's empowering people, that is telling people that they should be here, that God's going to do a good work and we're going to be a part of it. I don't know what you need to work on. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind. The Holy Spirit says his word will not return to us void. Now, what I say will return void, but his word will not return void. So the Holy Spirit has a way of speaking to each heart individually and to telling people probably something I haven't even spoken on. The Lord has spoken to your heart. On your notes, you have a section that says, I've decided. I believe that every time the word of God is open, we should make a decision. And so there's a spot right there for you for something that the Holy Spirit has impressed in your heart. Maybe something you need to work on. Maybe something you need to stop doing. Maybe something you need to start doing. As we continue and as we move into this invitation time, make sure and write down whatever the Holy Spirit has brought to your mind. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we join in prayer.